Great to see you here today. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. And we just finished one of the most popular passages, one of the most familiar passages, I might add, in Philippians chapter 3, from verse 12 down to verse 16. And now we're in verse 17. We're only going to take a few verses, three verses to be exact, verse 17, 18, and 19. And we're in 12 through 16, Paul is highly confessional, and shares his heart. In verse 17 through 19, he's very instructional, and he challenges us in an area that I think is really remarkable, and he uses a word that makes a lot of people really uncomfortable, even believers that have been believers for a long time, and I'll share with you why in just a minute. But look down in chapter 3, Philippians 3, beginning down in verse 17, and let's just read these three verses. Paul writes, "Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I've often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things." Yeah, in one way, I hate to stop right there because it has such a, we kind of feel this negative vibe from what he's saying because he's given a lesson on correction at this point. But it's the best place to stop. We'll get to verse 20 and following next week. But the word that makes us uncomfortable as we read that is right in the first line when he says, "Join in imitating me." And, I think there are a couple reasons for that. One, we think that the word is just not appropriate. I think one reason we get that idea is because we think that if you're imitating somebody else, you're kind of either making fun of them or you're doing that in your own strength and power. And that's certainly not what Paul's saying. He's not saying that you're imitating him or mocking him. And he's certainly not saying that you follow him in your own strength and power. And so he's not really picturing this word the way sometimes we picture it. Another reason that we think that this is inappropriate or misdirected in using that word is because we think that there's a lot of pride in that. I mean, join with imitating me. We just think that the emphasis is on me and maybe too much of Paul in that statement. But what you have to do is you have to read this verse and this statement in the context of an entire book. And in fact, you can just read it in the letter itself. And there's so much humility in what Paul says about his life in Christ. How he's given up everything that he counted as gain and is special to him, he's given up for the sake of Christ. So much of that in this letter, that there's no way Paul is suddenly, in one line, becoming immersed in this ego, prideful state. Another reason that we think that we just don't like this word is because it reminds us of a saying, imitation is the sincerest form of what? Flattery. But I want you to know, this has nothing to do with flattery. In fact, it's much more than flattery. It's about following Jesus. It's about walking with Jesus. And I think when you read it and you think about it for a few minutes, you see that what the Apostle Paul is doing, it's like a son with a father. He's sitting down with this group and he's saying, "Listen, guys, I really want you to understand what it means to walk for Christ and with Christ and live a life that's truly devoted to Him, wholly devoted to Him. And so this is what I want you to do. I want you to just follow me. Join with others in imitating me as I follow Jesus and watch what God will do in your life." Now, what I want to do is I want to answer this question. Why imitate? Why imitate anyone? Why do that? And I want to answer it in four ways. And then we're going to wrap it up with three things that we learn about following others as we follow Jesus. The first answer to this question, why imitate, is this. Because life as a follower of Christ is different. Life as a follower of Christ is different. When you come to saving faith in Jesus, when you come to know Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, everything is different. Positionally, everything has changed for you in a moment. In an absolute moment, right there in the moment when you come to know Christ, everything changes for you. And it's totally different than anything you've known before. For example, 2 Corinthians 5:17, we've heard it a lot, but I want you to look at this verse and think about it, man. Listen to what Paul is saying. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ," if you've become a follower of Jesus, if you've experienced the joy of his salvation, anyone in Christ, he is a new creation, absolutely new. Everything is brand new for you as a believer. And he says, "The old has passed away and the new has come." I mean, what an amazing statement to think that you're lost, you're apart from Christ, and everything about your life apart from Christ is now made new. Everything has been made new because of Jesus. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Another couple of verses that Jesus spoke in John chapter 5, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment because he has passed from death to life. And then one chapter later, in chapter 6, verse 47, Jesus again using the same expression, truly, truly, that's a point of emphasis. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life, present tense, it has happened right now, everything's changed for you. He's just telling us this. When you come to saving faith in Christ, everything changes in that moment because of the goodness of God's grace and the completeness of his justification. You are now in Jesus and everything is absolutely new. Now, let's turn the page on that. Consequently, this changes how we live. Now, Paul talked about how it had changed how he lived. In fact, in verse 12, I want to go back and read that. We're in Philippians 3. Look back up in verse 12. Listen to how Paul describes his life now that he's a believer. He says, not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect. He said, I'm not perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me own. He's saying, listen, Jesus owns me now. He has made me his own possession. He has given me new life, and because of that, man, I'm following a different path. Verse 13, brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Man, what an encouraging statement. Paul saying, listen, everything changed for me when I came to Christ, and consequently now, everything in my life is different. My walk, the way I live every day, is different because of Jesus. Here's what he's saying in a nutshell. Positionally, life is different when you come to Christ. So practically, life will be different when you come to Christ. I mean, it needs to work itself out in every day the way we live. And so, let me give you the scripture. Turn the page to the right to Colossians chapter 2, all right? Now, this is not a hard exercise. It's just two pages. Colossians 2, everybody turn there. I want you to look in your Bible. It's not going to be on the screen. It says this, verse 6. Listen to what Paul says to another group of Christians. Colossians 2, 6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, you get that? You're a Christian. You've come to know Jesus. So just as you've received him as Lord, everything's new for you. You're a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. So walk in him. Let your walk be different. Your walk ought to be different because everything's changed for you. Now you have a new Lord, new life. It's all wrapped up in Jesus, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. You see, that's answer number one. Why imitate? Why do that? Because a life in Christ is different. It's so different that we all need those models. We all need those examples. We all need those mentors. And God's placed them in our life. And he's saying, listen, follow me as I follow Jesus. Join with others in imitating me. Now, answer number two, why imitate? Because examples are valuable. Examples are valuable. On a very practical side, a very human side, we follow people. People follow people. It starts off when we're young. You know, if you're a parent, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but you know, you're kind of raising your child, you're staying in contact with them every day, and you're following what's going on in their life, and one day they walk in and they're using some different words they've never used before, you know? And you're thinking, what in the world is happening to my child? I mean, they could be good words, they could be bad words, but they're using different words, and you're like, all right. And then suddenly you notice that the way they say their words is different. They've taken on a new language. I mean, they're saying things differently. And then you take them shopping, and they don't like the clothes that they used to wear and used to buy, and now they want different clothes at a different store. And you're like, this transformation, this metamorphosis is taking place with my kids. And then all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, you get introduced to their new friend. And you hear those same words, you hear the same voice, and you see the same clothes. And now you know why your kid wants all that. It's because people follow people. And we don't stop when we're kids, do we? The fashion industry's learned that. All they have to do is somebody who makes a decision, let's just change the style, let's change the way people look, the shoes people wear, the colors that they wear. And all of a sudden, you'll find this trickle-down effect. I mean, it'll be on television one day, and then it'll be in your department stores the next day, and it's going to be in your closet the day after that. Because people follow people. It happens all the time. You know? So I want you to understand a very practical level what he's saying in this passage. I mean, it just rings true to everyday life. Examples are valuable. In the Scripture, they're valuable as well. Let me give you an example of an example in Scripture. In the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, Paul is actually giving instruction to a group of believers, and he's using the story of the Old Testament to do that. He's talking about their worship of idols. He's talking about the time of Moses. And in verse 11 of chapter 10, this is what he says. Now, these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. And so what's he saying? He's saying, listen, all those stuff, that stuff that happened, that happened as an example for us, and it was written down so that we could learn from it. And so there's a great picture, even in Scripture, of an example. Some good examples and some bad examples, but we have it. The ultimate example is who? Jesus is the right answer. I'm glad you guys picked up on that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. The ultimate example that we have is Jesus himself. We don't have Jesus living before us every day. We don't see him walking with us. We have him in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have him in his revealed word, who teaches us all about him so that we can see him visibly. And there are other examples like that. For example, the life of the Apostle Paul. And that's what he's saying. Even for us, he's talking to the church in Philippi, saying, even though he's removed from them, he's saying, follow me as I follow Christ. You saw my life. You watched me live. You watched how I live. And you also watch guys like Timothy and Epaphroditus. This is a plural statement. Brothers, join in imitating me. Join who? Join others. And keep your eyes on those who? Others, who walk according to the example you have in us, plural. So obviously he's talking about not just the Apostle Paul, he's talking about Epaphroditus, he's talking about Timothy, he's talking about others who are living according to Christ. And he's saying, listen, I want you to learn from them, I want you to follow after them, let them be your mentors. Now, he's certainly not saying that these people are perfect. If he was perfect, which he's already confessed that he's not, or if Timothy and Epaphroditus were perfect, they wouldn't be good examples, because we're not there, are we? But they are good examples because they have set their life on Christ. Now, I want to do a little word study here in verse 17 and talk about a couple of words. The first one is the word eyes. Eyes, right there. Keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. He's just telling us, be careful who you watch. Watch who you watch. And who you watch carefully. I mean, keep your eyes on them. But the word there is an interesting word. It's actually a word that means goal. And so he's saying, these guys are living with this goal in mind. You keep your eyes on the guys that have this goal in mind. That goal is that in everything they're pursuing Christ. They're living for Christ. Keep your eyes on them, but your eyes are really on the ultimate goal. You're wanting to get there as well, and so you're watching guys who have a like-minded life and lifestyle. I mean, that's the pursuit. You're pursuing the same goal they're pursuing. You're going in the same path they're going. That's your goal. That's your aim. The second word is the word example, and I like this word. I like this word a lot, and the reason is because there's no mistaking how they're living. The word example means to make a mark. You know? It's like taking a hammer and hitting a board. You leave a mark. You leave an impression. And he's saying, I want you to make sure that you're keeping your eyes on those people that are pursuing the goal. They have an example to leave for you. And it's obvious. And that's a big hint for us. We choose the people who we're going to follow, and when we choose them, we need to make sure that the example that those people leave behind, the mark that they're going to leave for us, is absolutely obvious. There's no question about their life in Christ. It's important. So, two answers to the question we have so far. He says, listen, why imitate? Because the life of in Christ is so different. Because examples are valuable. And let me wrap it up by saying this. He even used Timothy as an example. Write this verse down. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. All right, and listen to this. He's talking to Timothy, and Timothy's a young pastor in Ephesus, and he's trying to encourage him and inspire him to great living that's worth following. And, you know, I remember being in the same place when Christy and I went to seminary. I was 22 years old, and I'd go preach places, and people would always say this because I was young. They would always say, "Oh, that was really good. You're going to be a good pastor someday." And I always think the message was discounted because they were saying, you know, just keep working at it. One day you're going to get there because you're so young. So you're going to make a good pastor one day. And I asked Joe Cawthon, who was the vice president of academic affairs at the seminary one day. I said, "Listen, I'm preaching all over the place. And I go to these churches and I'm preaching. And when I get finished, this is the comment I'm hearing all the time. And it's really bothering me. What do I need to do about that?" He said, "Just keep living. Because time's going to take care of it. There's going to come a time when they're not going to say that anymore." And you know what? He's exactly right. Because I'm not young anymore. And it just went away. Actually, after the first service, somebody walked up to me and said, "You're going to be a good pastor one day." I said, "Thank you for calling me young." Well, Timothy had that same problem. He was young. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, listen to what he said. "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example." There's that word again. "In speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity." He's saying, listen, leave an unmistakable mark. Set it. I like the way he says that because he uses these two words. When you put them together, it means, man, make it firm and sure and obvious. Set an example. And then he gives him five areas. In speech, the way you talk. In conduct, let your walk match your talk. In love, love like Jesus. In faith, be a person who has absolute trust in Almighty God. And in purity, and when people look at your life, and it's transparent, and they see from the outside in, it just all looks the same. You're not like an M&M. You don't have a candy shell and a chocolate inside. No, you're the same all the way through. You have a pure, whole life. He said, that's the way you ought to live. Now, he's just telling us, get this. Examples are valuable. And he kind of sets the stage for us. He says, I'll tell you why, because you need to be careful who your examples are. And he tells us that down in verse 18. He says, "For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears." And this is just an example. I mean, Paul has great compassion for the people he's talking about, but also the people he's talking to. And he's saying, you know, even with tears, I write these words. I have great heart for you. Walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Here's the answer number three. Why imitate? Because there are people who are enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, the big question is, who's he talking about? I mean, who's he talking about? Well, it's obvious that he's talking about some people that are confusing. They confuse the people around them. Because he's warning them. So, in some measure, he's not talking about the lost, people who, you know, people who don't know Jesus, who live like they don't know Jesus. It's no mystery. So, is he talking about believers? Well, he can't be talking about believers because the first characteristic that he uses to describe their lives is destruction. Their end is destruction. That can't be a believer. So, who's he talking about? He's talking about people who are confessing believers, but aren't really. Now, I want you to watch this because Satan himself uses the same kind of plan. Now, if you're reading through the Gospel of John on our 40 Days of Light journey, this past week you read chapter 8, John chapter 8, and you read some words of Jesus down in verse 44 as he was talking to a group of people that were really, really being deceived and deceiving. He says this down in John 8, 44. "You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Now listen to this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul speaking the same kind of language. He says, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds." He's given us this warning. Now, remember the first two answers. Why imitate? Why have a mentor? Why follow the example of people who are obviously, completely, wholly following Jesus? One, because this life is so different. Two, because examples are valuable. Three, because there are people in this world that are masquerading as followers of Jesus but are enemies of the cross of Christ. And they are demanding your attention. And you know what? In this case, there were some people in this church in Philippi that were following them. That were following them. And so Paul's issuing this warning. Listen, hey, you need to pick better people to follow. You need to pick some people who are pursuing Christ. Those people aren't perfect, but they're on the right course. They're pursuing Jesus with their whole heart. Make those people your examples, because there are people who are demanding your attention and calling for your fellowship that are enemies of the cross of Christ. And he said, I want you to know four characteristics of their life. Number one, he says, their end is destruction. Now in verse 19, he's just saying, ultimate destruction is their end. I mean, they're not traveling down the right path or leading you to the right road. This is going to turn out very badly for them. Second thing, he says this, their God is their belly. He's not saying that they're constantly hungry. He's not saying that they always eat sweets. He's saying that they're driven by their appetite. The sensual desires of their life becomes the driving force in what they do. I do this because it makes me feel good. I act this way because this is what I like. I'm driven by my own appetites. Do you follow me? And so he's saying they're consumed with personal satisfaction. Whatever tastes good to me in my life, not in my mouth, but in my life, that's what I'm going to do, and that's going to be the guiding force for my life. I'm not going to do this because I don't like this, but I'm going to do this because I really like this, and I'm going to be driven by my own passions. That's their life. Third thing he says is this. Their glory is in their shame. And I read this and I read it over and over again. So what is he saying? And you know what he's saying is actually what I see coming true in our world. We not only, to me, there are more people engaged in more sinful activities today than ever before on the face of the planet. But now we're parading them as right. We're taking what is right and saying it is wrong. And we're taking what is wrong and we're saying it is right. It's happening all over the world. In other words, we are glorying in our shame. What is shameful and should not be done, we're doing, and not just doing it and keeping it secret. Now we're doing it and we're parading it and we're saying, hey, isn't this great? We're such free people. We can do whatever we want to do. Now here's the sad part. At the same time, that same group of people is saying, oh, I love Jesus. And we're falling for it. We're falling for it, hook, line, and sinker. And so we're excusing disobedience and shameful acts in our own lives, saying, but he's a Christian, and he does it. What's wrong with that? Everything. Remember where it started. Their end is destruction. I mean, you're headed down the wrong path. The last characteristic is this, and this kind of sums up why everything else is off. It says that, he says, the last thing is their minds are set on earthly things. What is he saying? He's saying they're nearsighted. They see only this world. So even though they're claiming to be a believer, they're living everything for today, everything for this world. So that gets us way off track, because believers, we're going to read this in verse 20, but our citizenship is in where? Where? Heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven, so we don't live for this life. We live for the life to come. He said they just got it backwards. They can't see that because they're just nearsighted. They're seeing everything in this world, and they're investing everything for happiness in this world, and they're missing the whole thing. Now, leads me to number four. Answer number four. Why imitate? Because following people who are following Christ helps prevent us and protect us from following people who are not. Did you get that? Because following people who are following Christ helps prevent us and protect us from following people who are not. Let me just paint a little scenario for you, and we'll just take it to an extreme in one sense. Somebody is in trouble with the law. It's their day in court. They show up, and the judge has read what's taking place. He's trying to make a decision. He turns to the person who's in trouble and says, "Do you have anything to say? I mean, I've read the documents. I've read all the accusations. But do you have anything to say?" And the person says this. I'm really a good person. This is just an example of someone who started running, help me finish this, with the wrong crowd. How many times does that happen? How many times have we used that as an excuse for not following Jesus? All the time. I hear it almost every week. Why is that? Because you know what? We are people who follow people. It's always amazing to me the people that say, "Well, I'm following them because I just want to be different." But then there's a whole group of people who are just like them. And how is that different? I don't understand that. I don't understand that. But we are people who follow people. We follow people. And what he's telling us is, listen, what you need to do is you need to make sure that you are imitating, you are following people who walk according to the example you have in us. They're pursuing Jesus. Because following people who are following Christ helps prevent us and protect us from following people who are not. Now, three things we learn from those four answers to that one question, why imitate? First thing is this. There is power in influence. For godliness or for wickedness. Okay, there is power in influence for godliness or for wickedness. So be careful who you give it to. There is power in influence. That's the key word, influence. For godliness or for wickedness, so be careful who you give it influence to. How do you give influence to anybody? You invite them into your life. Anybody you invite into your life, you give opportunity for influence. Anybody. So be careful. Let me say a couple of words here, just very practical to parents. And I would just tell you, and I know kids don't like this, but I tell you, today you need to be the nosy mom and the nosy dad. Unapologetically. And let me tell you why. Contrary to what Neil Bort says, for those of you who listen to him, who says, it's no different today than it was when I was a kid. Oh, it's vastly different today than when I don't know if he lived yesterday as a kid, but if he lived when I lived as a kid, today being a kid is vastly different from when I was a kid. Even though sin was still sin, and it will still dominate the minds and hearts of people, it has become more controlling and pervasive in our society than ever before. So you need to be nosy mom and nosy dad. When your child is going to spend the night somewhere, okay, you need to call and interview the parents. I didn't hear but like one amen from that. You need to find out what's going on in that house. Listen, as the pastor of the church and president of a school with 1,200 students, I hear these conversations every day with parents who did not make that decision. Okay? Because they didn't want to, they're not going to like me. If I call and ask questions that are hard questions, this parents aren't going to like me. And then my child's going to hate me because she's not going to be able to go, or he's not going to be able to go to their house. Listen, I tell kids, you're living for somebody you're not even going to spend any time with once you graduate. You're trying to make an impression on all these people. When you graduate and go your way, they go your way. Listen, you're not going to, and parents, listen, who cares if you're friends with a parent of a person you're not even going to know in 20 years? I can tell you this, It is not that important, but it is important that you protect the life of your child. And right now, when your children live in your house, they need you, not as a friend, but as a parent. They can't choose who the best person is to give influence to. And that's why they depend on you. That's why they depend on you. But let me move forward a little bit. College. Where you send your kids to college. Well, that's something to be real careful about. You know, one thing our generation is consumed with getting a scholarship, whether it's an academic scholarship or a sports scholarship, and we think that's just the greatest thing in the world. It does help you with money, okay, paying for college, and it's getting more expensive by the day, but it does not help you with influence. If you just send your child to a school because they got a baseball scholarship or football scholarship or a softball scholarship or an academic scholarship, and so it's helping you pay the way, and you send them, and you know nothing about the environment, listen, you are immersing your child in a setting that's going to have influence. And what it costs them the rest of their life is not comparable to what it's going to cost you to pay for 4 years of college. So be careful. The lesson we learn is real simple. And adults, we need to do the same thing. There is power and influence for godliness or wickedness, so be careful who we give it to. Even at work, guys, be careful who you give influence to. The ballpark, whatever you're doing, wherever you are, be careful who you give influence to. Number two, to know who you're following, you need to know God's Word. It's real simple. You're not going to be able to properly assess or discern if the person you're following is one of these people who's really an enemy of the cross, who's being very deceptive, disguised as an angel of light, but really is in his destruction, God at his belly, I mean, just satisfying his own appetites. You're not going to be able to discern that if you're not in God's Word. If you're not walking in God's Word, you're not even going to be able to make good decisions concerning who is influencing your life. You can't. People say, oh, I can read people. Listen, you can read people, but if you don't know God, you don't even know what language they're speaking. So you need to know God's Word. Third statement is this. To know who you're following, you need to honestly answer this question, and you need to ask this question over and over again. Do I look more like Jesus? Get this. Is the people, or are the people that I'm hanging around, the people that I've allowed to influence me, when I hang around them, I need to ask myself a question. We get finished, you know, going out to eat, hanging out at the movies, whatever we're doing. Is this person helping me look more like Jesus? Do I look more like Jesus because I'm hanging out with this person? I mean, that's the question. Now, when you start talking about dating, and we just take this up to a whole other level, all right? You need to look for somebody who's following Jesus. And when you get finished hanging out with them, and you walk away and say, ask this question, do they help me look more like Jesus, or do I look less like Jesus because I'm hanging out with them? And if they make you look less like Jesus, you need to stay away from them. Now, here's the bottom line. Let's wrap it all up. Choose carefully who you follow, because it will make an eternal difference for you and those who follow you. You see, we need to turn this around. Not just who you're following, but who's following you. You see, this is how this worked. Paul's living a life for Jesus. Timothy came behind him. And he followed Paul as Paul followed Jesus. But then there was a whole church in Ephesus that followed Timothy. So there's a church who followed Timothy, who's following Paul, who's following Jesus. You follow me? And there is some, you follow me? There are some people who are following you. And believe it or not, they're not looking to catch you doing something wrong. There are plenty of examples of that. They're just looking for somebody that they can catch doing something right. Authentically, genuinely following Jesus. So, why imitate? Why imitate? This life is so different. It's different than anything we've ever known. Because examples are valuable. Because there are in this world enemies of the cross that are demanding your attention and wanting you to follow them. And because when you follow people who are following Jesus, it can protect you and prevent you from following people who are not. So let's look.